Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 64, and I am Libya, your host, and this week we have returning guests and a full house.
Yes, this is Ronnie, here live in LA, but actually from Vegas.
Hi, it's Marcia from Los Angeles.
And Peter from Los Angeles.
Hey! Woo. All right. This week is going to be a lighter week than normal because all the fall shows have finaled out mostly last week and only a few for this week. And then we're going to start summer shows. And we're going to start maybe doing some specials or something. Throw out some ideas. Let us know what you guys want us to do specials about. And let's go on with the news. The first piece of news I have is that Christopher Maloney from Law & Order SUV is saying peace out because they did not agree to his contract negotiations, so he said later. So as of this week, he's done. So no Chris Maloney, and also Mariska Hargitay had also decided she was phasing out her role for SVU. So she's only going to be in part of the season for next season. So that means for me, I'm done. It means that show is... I wanted to delete that show from my TiVo for so long, but I couldn't do it. Now I can. I'm all right. Yay. All right. Next piece is that Showtime is premiering a show called Homeland in the fall that's based on an Israeli show. And it's starring Damian Lewis, which means I'm going to watch it.
Looks really good.
And we just watched the trailer. Yes. And the premise of the show is that there's an American POW in Afghanistan, and he's been captured for like a year or two. We're not quite sure how long they had him as a POW. And so they return him, and he's supposed to be this great hero, and everybody's, you know, all happy that he's back, and he's getting all these accolades. But the CIA agent from Homeland, or she's CIA, or she's in Homeland, I forgot which, but she gets some information from her informants that someone has turned an American agent or an American soldier. And so she's putting it together, and she's pretty sure that this guy that's been the POW is that terrorist agent. So her thing is that's her gut, but she can't get any support because this guy's a suit. You know, everybody thinks of him as a returning hero. Nobody wants to hear that he might be a terrorist. So she has to figure out a way to observe him and spy on him and do all the stuff you're supposed to do to a potential terrorist person. And that's the premise. They have really good, it's Claire Danes, Damian Lewis, and Andy Potemkin.
It sounds like a takeoff on the original Manchurian Candidate.
I see that. Except I don't know if he's been mind controlled. Because when the Manchurian Candidate, he was like hypnotized.
Is, yeah. Right. Well, they were broken down and they were...
Triggered. But I don't think he's supposed to be broken down that way. I mean, I think they obviously broke him down. But he is consciously aware that he is an agent, I think. That's how they're playing it. But anyway, the next thing is that HBO just announced the shows that they are premiering for 2013. Wait, that's 2 years away.
Well, they need time to film them all.
Yeah. That's true. So anyway, so they are doing Ender's Game and a reboot of Highlander.
Like, we all need another reboot of Highlander.
I know. I was like, I was so not excited about the Highlander reboot. I mean, I enjoyed the show, but not enough to want another one. You know, it's just like, it was all right. It was an all right 80s show. Why would you do it again? Like, Ender's Game I'm excited about because I love the books. But Highlander, All right. Anybody else have any news?
I do. Now we know what numbers it takes for Showtime to keep a show. Nurse Jackie has been renewed with approximately 725,000 viewers. Whereas U.S. of Terror has been not renewed and they had about 325,000 viewers. So now we know the cutoff point to get a show renewed.
On Showtime.
And what I find funny is that all throughout the net, everyone who's been watching these two shows went, we'd have given up Nurse Jackie to keep U.S. of Terror. But sadly, if they're still using Nielsen's, because Showtime's not saying how they got the numbers, unlike CW that talks about online and DVR. Showtime's not mentioning where they're coming from. But yet, now we know. So if they ever have another show we actually hear about,
call your friends. Well, I know the numbers for Game of Thrones were like over 2 million, so.
Well, it's also HBO. And right. There was a party for press just before they came out with Boardwalk Empire. And one of the press people asked one of the suits, one of the big shots, I don't remember which one, how can you afford this amazing party? Because they pulled out all the stops. It was like an old-fashioned premiere for press, and it was just amazing. And the guy said, HBO, $10 a month, five or 10 million homes. That's how. The idea is that HBO makes so much money off of the subscriptions that they put money into their shows. They don't stinge. And they advertise like crazy.
They do advertise.
And if you don't advertise, you're not going to get the eyeballs.
Right. And that's true. They did a lot of good advertising. All right. Any other news? Are we good?
We're good.
All right. Then we're going to move on to the shows. The first one is Doctor Who. And it's part one of a two-parter. And it's about the, what are they called?
The gangers.
The gangers.
Doppelgangers.
Right.
Just the gangers. Yes.
So what do you guys think?
I could swear we've seen this before.
I remember the first part reminds me of Solaris or The Thing, or I mean, it's just one of those things where there's always a thing that looks just like people and like,
well, except for the
kind
thing.
Of alien thing. And
in The Thing, it was more of a horror thing, you know, and it was more like they were really creepy
and
scary.
But what you're saying, the point, well, they are getting creepy and scary.
No,
I don't think so.
I kind of feel like they're the oppressed citizen.
Well, yeah.
That's the way they played it off.
They're playing it off that it's. You know, what they're trying to say is that we didn't ask to be born, but now that
right.
we are, you need to keep us. However, I do look at things. It's got a little Blade Runner in it, but not the good parts. For those listening, I love Doctor Who. I like Matt Smith more than David Tennant for the character. However, I could swear they did this in the David Tennant version.
No, they didn't.
No.
It feels like it, and that's the problem I'm having with the writing. It feels recycled. It feels like they've taken one or two old versions and they've recycled it. I didn't see any specialness. I didn't see any of that snappy writing that I'm used to seeing. I was bored.
Yeah, and also I thought that, going off what she said, I thought that, like, and maybe it's because I've been rewatching Solaris, the original, which is, like, one of my favorites. And so this comes up, and I was like, oh, okay. I was like, so it's this idea of, you know, this thing that maybe is perhaps a being, and like you're saying, didn't necessarily want to be born, but now they're there. But that's very much Solaris. Solaris is very much like the... Wait, have you seen Solaris?
I don't remember.
The whole thing in Solaris
yes.
is that,
yes.
like, you go to there's this planet, and basically, if something terrible happened to Ronnie still comes back to you, but it's only the version of Ronnie that you remember. So everything that you... So because the planet can only create what it knows from your memories. And when this started, I was like, oh, okay, so they're using this goop thing to kind of be them, and they think they're just using it as an avatar. I think that's
right.
the original.
Right.
Oh, yes.
But of course, because it's a living being, it becomes more than that. It starts
right.
thinking it. And that part I liked. That I was like, oh, this is kind of like Stars. But then once it moves into the second half, which is now, it's like, I think Rory kind of befriends one of them and everything, and now it did essentially become like, you're right, the oppressed creatures, and now it's like a war. Then I kind of tuned out. I was like, oh, you've just taken an idea that's kind of cool and you've just kind of oversimplified it.
Well,
you know?
I really enjoyed it.
Enjoy the episode, and I think, well, you go ahead.
Oh, and I was just going to say, because what I liked, it was because of an accident. Like you said, they were just avatars or just
sure,
there
sure.
because
like
of the
that.
Accident.
Yeah.
I like the whole setup for that. And then there's lightning, or what kind of storm? The big storm or whatever.
Right.
You know, sort of caused it.
Some storm or something.
Right. And then how the doctor, though, but his relationship, and there's still something that we don't understand, you know, sort of with what the doctor...
Because
is.
He recognizes those things. He knows what they
okay,
are.
That's,
right.
And everybody keeps going, well, how do you know what they are? And then he won't tell you, because
right.
obviously there's some big secret or whatever. But I liked it, too. The only thing I didn't like was when they were all starting to work together, and they were talking to each other, and they were acknowledging the other people were real people,
mm-hmm.
and then that random chick comes in and starts shooting
right.
people.
Yeah.
I was
exactly.
like,
that's where I kind of checked out. That's
yeah.
where I'm like, why?
Well,
because
I mean,
you know,
that
like,
scene.
She's supposed to be the leader of the group, and here, and I like how the ganger version of her goes, it figures.
Right.
I would do this. And so that, and that was the exact moment when I said, that is the last cute thing said. And after that, it was just a bunch of running around.
Yeah,
somebody who was sitting watching, someone yelled, "Look, it's a quarry." It was just like Hill Tom Baker where they run and run and run in the quarry because they have nothing else to fill the
time.
There
was actually no quarry.
That was a joke.
Okay, thank you.
As they were running around.
I was kind of going, what?
Maybe I was like, after that, because yeah, it's like too much running around, but I kept on thinking it was only one episode. I didn't realize it was a two-parter.
Oh, I knew
like,
it was a two-parter.
And
so
I was like, how are they going to wrap this up? So maybe that's what, you know, sort of kept me going. Because, yeah, like you said, after the point that the one got killed, it did just get kind of running around, but I still really enjoyed it, though.
I enjoyed it as well, and it just, the only thing is, like I said, is the woman shooting at them just felt, it made her character kind of one-dimensional and over the top and uninteresting, and everybody else, like the guys, like, it's my son too, and right. and they had that moment where they recognized it, and I thought that was pretty good, and then the ganger version of the girl that Rory was helping actually was the girl that was Rory was helping because he didn't realize she was a ganger at first. All of a sudden, she's evil. She's like, "I'm going to kill the loose one," and I was like, "What? Like, why did she just have this personality switch?"
See, that's the kind of that's the stuff where I just felt like, you know, they took kind of a cool premise and it just became.
Except that the ganger version of the Doctor, awesome.
But didn't you know that was going to be the also because I knew it was a two-parter. I knew that was the end. I was like, we're of course going to get to the new Doctor version and everything.
Well, I mean, when
like,
you see his hand and he's like, "Trust me," and I was like, "Oh, it's that." I knew it was the Doctor, but actually seeing him and you hear the Doctor's voice and he's not talking, like that was a really I thought that was a pretty
well,
cool.
No, it was okay, but it was expected.
I think the issue was is that this is the second two-parter, and.
The second part is the finale for the break.
For the break.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, well, there's seven episodes.
It's not the finale. There's another one. Because,
yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. But the thing is, I'm
right.
noticing that
okay.
what they're doing again is the first episode was, and it kind of didn't do anything and go anywhere, put a few things out, but it was slow and kill me. And then the second one wrapped it up. Here again, we had another one. Slow. I mean, they could have cut out 15 minutes.
I thought the start was not slow.
Fine.
I thought
yeah,
the
no
start
problem.
Was fine.
Right, that was fine. But altogether, I could say that they could have cut out about 15 minutes of it, tightened up the script, and it would have gone a lot better. Maybe I wouldn't have had people making the joke about, "Ooh, look, it's a quarry," because instead of wasting time, they would have had story. And I understand this is, we still have to remember, it's a child's show. It's a family
yes.
show. But my kid would have been bored out of their minds
well,
because it dragged.
I was about to say, you say it's a children's show, but I've been watching it for like 5 years, and I don't always think that it's a children's show.
Compared to something like a Torchwood, I think Torchwood's darker.
Yeah, but
in England, that
I'm not saying like 3-year-olds should watch it.
In England, almost every person has a memory of hiding behind the couch watching the TV.
I understand the concept,
they make it there. They specifically say it's before the watershed. It is geared so that a child 5 years old or older could watch it. That's why there's a lot of stuff that they don't have.
It's not really
that you have.
Bloody, like, you know.
Well,
like
that's fine, but I'm just
and
like
no
say,
cursing,
with the,
yeah.
with,
a lot of stuff.
I'm just saying the David Tennant seasons, when Russell T. Davies was doing it, got very dark.
It got very dark.
That's all I'm saying. And I think that I agree with you. The writing, since Matt Smith, I like him as a doctor, the writing has been bad. I mean, there's no other way to say it.
Well, no. I think the writing has been, I'd say the writing has been more inconsistent. Because obviously, the Neil Gaiman one was
one of
fantastic.
One of the best episodes ever.
Yeah, so I mean, and that's included, you know, you're right. Moffat didn't write it, but Moffat at least had the good sense to let Neil Gaiman write it.
Like Russell T. Davies would be like, "No, Mr. Gaiman,
right.
you did not write one of my episodes."
I mean, because that's a great episode.
Oh, yeah.
Know? So, I mean,
and
yeah,
I,
like...
And I have to say, overall, I think it actually came up on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, but the one thing I don't like about the writing overall this season is I feel that they're dumbing down the Doctor a little bit, and they're letting Amy take the lead too much. And I still hate that the intro now, or the...
For
the
BBC America, specifically.
Is it? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
In Canada, Space has the same thing, I was told.
Oh, okay.
They're not happy either.
The downloads off Apple doesn't have it. It's just normal.
Yes,
thank
normal.
Because, I saw that when I was at your house, and I was like, what is this goofy, you know, my name is
Amy
Pond.
Every week.
It just
kind of
reminds
like,
you that we're going to put Amy before the Doctor. It's like, no, the Doctor is the one
right,
we're interested in. And so that's been annoying.
It's almost like they're making him like Jack Sparrow. Like, he, in part, like, it's like, he's the wacky side guy. And I'm like, no, he, it's called Doctor Who. Like, you know, so, yeah.
It's the Amy Pond show. Right.
But I do like Rory. You know, there's now
a couple. I do too. Yes. No,
I like him because he throws in little pieces of reality and levity. And, oh my God, are they going to try to kill him again today?
That was a great line in the episode.
There's a Facebook page called Please Stop Killing.
No, but there was a line in this week's episode where she was like, I feel like I'm about to die. And he's like, I feel like that every week. So I was like, nice.
They're giving him really good lines. I'm actually liking his lines better than I'm liking the other people's lines. And it's really sad when the third character is the one that's humorous.
Well, I agree with Ronnie. I'm pointing because, of course, the listeners can see who I'm pointing at or hear who I'm pointing at. Anyway, I agree with Ronnie about the dumbing down of the Doctor. And I have never, ever seen them do that before. And it kind of threw me off. I was like, why is the Doctor supposed to be stupid? That makes no sense. If anything, you make him smarter than anybody. That's the thing, is he's always, no matter what room he walks in, he's the smartest guy in the room. Mm-hmm. And if that's not true, what are we watching the show for? You know what I mean? So, anyway, frustration. Moving on. Next, we want to talk about episode 6 of, I had to think about which episode we're on, of Game of Thrones. And
a golden crown.
A golden crown.
Perfectly titled.
The crown was awesome.
Before we get to the crown, the other stuff that happened in the episode opens up with Eddard Stark in bed because his leg is all messed up and he's got the cast on. He wakes up and the king and queen are in the room. And the queen is, of course, accusing him of drunken debauchery. And the king is kind of like, yeah, that's my job. That's totally my job. And he backslaps her.
Oof.
Like, that was a little... And I think that was a line that the two of them had never crossed. As much as they don't like each other, they'd never, you know, gotten to that point before.
You can tell by his next line that he's never raised a hand to her. And you can tell by her face, he gonna be sorry.
She was like, I will wear it as a badge of honor. And he was like, if you don't get out of here, you're gonna have some more badges. Yeah, that's, Cersei's is not the woman you start hitting. I tell you that right now.
Very much so.
But I'm just starting to read the book because I wanted to get a little bit into the show before I'd read the book behind it. Definitely, I don't like the king. He's somebody who accidentally, by birth, is running the show.
He killed the last king.
I understand, but it should... I'm looking at his brother. I'm looking at all these other people. He's a crappy king.
Oh, yes, this is true. Yeah, I'm not going to argue that.
As somebody who wanted to be king, he's... It's not that he's really evil.
No, he did. He wanted to be king, and then once he became king, he realized it was hard.
Because as a pilot, he's basically like, I don't really want to do this.
First became king, he thought he was going to get to marry the woman he wanted to marry, which didn't happen because she got killed. Mm-hmm. So then he ended up having to marry Cersei's. Because of being the king, they made him marry a woman he didn't want to marry. So being king got him married to some woman he didn't like, and then the job was hard. And then he was like, well, this isn't what I signed up for. Because, I mean, I guess, because you have to remember, he became king when he was like 18 or 20. Mm-hmm. So his idea of what being king was not the reality.
Right.
But yes, he sucks at being king, but he knows that.
See, he's one of the only characters that I don't want to say like I like him, but he's one of the only characters that I actually kind of find interesting. Like, I don't know, I think he's kind of an interesting character.
I think Ed Stark is interesting.
Yeah, he is too, but like we've said this before, I always think Cersei's... She's too obviously a villain. I wish she had more.
Yeah, but we weren't talking about her.
No. But I do like the king. I think he's. I like how the more messed up he is, the more it reminds me of like how terrible he is at the job.
Right.
You know? But I don't know. It's strange. I guess I sometimes kind of feel bad for him. It's weird.
What's interesting is he also, he's in the position where he knows that the Lannisters are wrong, that they attacked him in the street,
right?
And he knows that he needs to do something about it, but he can't because he owes them money.
Right.
So what does he do? He puts Ed Stark in the, yes, the throne while he leaves town to let Ed do whatever needs to be done.
Yes, I like that. Yeah.
And so that way he can say, wash his hands, be like, I had nothing to do with it. And he can claim ignorance. And justice could... He's still... The thing is as bad as a king as he is, he does still kind of want the right thing to happen. Mm-hmm. You don't think so?
I don't think so. I think he doesn't care anymore. I really don't.
Well, then why did he put Ned in the throne?
Because he didn't want to be the one blamed. He wanted to get the hell away. He wanted a vacation.
you know, clear his head.
Yes, because what you're looking at is a man who is doesn't care about himself, doesn't care about anybody else, who...
Which is when a you bad talk about, position
when you talk
for
about,
a king.
Well, when you talk about money, here he is saying, I want a tournament. Well, we don't have the money for a tournament, but I want a tournament. He's
like a child.
He's like the Nicolas Cage of the book, where he's got access to money and he puts himself deeper and deeper in debt, makes himself like a child, gets all this crap, and then goes and points fingers at everyone else and goes, they're the ones who made the decision. They let me do it.
Right.
It's their fault. I'm just the king. I really don't have power here. And that's why I don't like him as a character, though I like the way that they're writing him. Because you don't feel so... At least I don't feel sorry for him. Okay. I really don't.
Okay.
I think he's going to be a pawn somewhere by a bunch of other people. I'm looking forward to the real heir.
Oh, Joffrey? Or no, not Joffrey.
The one who's working in the Ironworks?
Oh, the Anvil. Well, the thing is he's a bastard, though, and there's no way. You can't have a king that's a bastard. The way it would work...
England did.
Well, these... You could tell, because of the way they treat Jon Snow, you know how they view bastards in this world. So there's no way that that guy can rule. So it would go to... He's got two or three brothers. It would go to one of his brothers. Okay, that's also speaking of that, what was revealed this week was that Joffrey is, because that was the big revelation at the end of the episode, is that Stark figured out that Joffrey was not the king's son. So that's the big, that was like, dun, dun, dun,
right.
And that is why Jon Arryn is dead. So do you have any comment? You're looking
for something. Go for it.
No. So that was one of the big, that was a big revelation. And we spent time with, who else did we spend time with this week?
Oh,
The daughter, the youngest daughter.
Arya,
she found out that they're trying to kill her father.
Oh, because she was listening?
Yeah.
Yes, she felt she was chasing a cat.
Oh, yes.
Like she was supposed to do.
Yes. That was like next week I'll be chasing cats. And everybody goes, all right. And she's literally chasing cats.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty good. But the thing that makes me so mad about that conversation, it's not mad, but kind of frustrating, was that she actually overheard the plot. Like, this is the big thing that's going on, but because she's a little kid and she was scared, she doesn't know exactly what she heard, but she knows enough to know that her father's in danger.
Yes.
So she tries to go tell him, but she gets the facts a little mixed up, and he doesn't believe her.
Oh, no, he believes her.
But
he believes her to the point where he wants to get his daughters out.
He does, yeah. He does want to get them out.
Instantly.
Yeah,
true. At that moment, he's like, he's trying to calm her down while you see in the actor's eyes, it's like, oh, shh, moment. And he's instantly calls in his other guy, says, we've got to get the girls out. We've got to get the family out. We've got to get everybody out. And that's when all the rest of it starts to happen. Because he instantly wants to get them out. He knows that what she's saying. And he knows that she's smart enough. Not like his other daughter.
Oh, by the way.
And that's another thing he's probably scared of too. Realizing that the son is not the true heir. He doesn't want his other daughter to marry him.
Of course not. Because that means her kid, the kids are nothing.
Right.
Yeah, so why would you marry your daughter to...
Well, he's a jerk.
Well, that too.
That's another point.
Well, I mean, Jon Snow is a bastard, but we like him.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but there, nobody would marry their daughter to Jon Snow.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the thing.
It was interesting with his son, Bran, and like that whole scene where like now at least, you know, even though he's, paralyzed,
yeah,
they got him up on the horse and, you know, and even though...
Oh, that's right, because he got attacked by brigands in the woods.
Aha, uh-huh, yes.
What was good about that scene, because he gets attacked, and they're like, what are you doing in the woods by yourself, young little kid or little boy? And he's like, I'm not by myself. And they should have listened to that part. He was like, I'm not by myself. And they're like, we don't see anybody else with you. And, of course, they all died. But that also makes you understand a little bit how, even though he's on the horse and he's enjoying himself and he's got all this freedom, very instantly it shows that he's helpless still.
Well, I was actually surprised the scene where, because doesn't Arya kind of have this, a similar scene where she ends up at the gate?
Oh.
And then, and because she's basically like, she's all dirty and everything, and they're like, who the hell are you? And she's like, I am, blah, blah. And they're like, oh. Hey, that easily could be like, no, you're not, go away, or we'll just kill you.
Which is what I expected them to do to her the other week. That if she kept pushing it, because that's how they treat the females when they realize she was a female, that's what they did.
It might just be that she was so confident.
Yeah, that was like, all. That's
you know, yeah. She's really confident about this, maybe.
Yeah.
Because a part of me was kind of like, I don't know why this. Well, because I think he wouldn't necessarily believe her.
But
you know,
if he had been wrong,
then it's his head. Yeah,
yeah, he would have been dead. So right. He's like,
now there, because I always forget the other brother.
Brandon?
No,
the littlest one.
No, the dwarf.
Oh,
yes,
Tyrion.
Tyrion.
Different family.
Different family.
He's Lannisters, yeah.
But
yes.
But like he said, you know.
He had the great story.
And you know. He's the only one in that family that I could actually trust.
Well,
because he'll always look out for himself, but he'll take you along with him. He won't leave you behind.
He gave the guy the money at the end.
Yeah.
Always sell my debts.
It's like Lannister always keeps his settles his debts. That was great.
And I like the way he was sleeping and he was slowly rolling and Eugene's watching and he goes, how come, why doesn't he just turn the other way? I go, did you notice that no matter how you lay on that floor in that cell, you slowly make it to the middle and roll down?
Well, because the floor is slanted.
But on purpose, it slants it in three different ways. I love that. That was great. Would you like to go to a smaller room? gold, I don't hit. See any gold?
He kept hitting him? That was so awesome.
Oh my
then,
God.
There was
no gold.
There was some line when he was trying to explain. He was like, do you understand the concept of future returns of gold? He said something
really. Say something like
something
that.
Really complicated. I was like, dude, I just kept hitting him. Oh, it's awesome. But
I think his confession was best when he was sitting there just going on and on.
The stuff he was confessing to.
I
put poop at my dad or like who my uncle's boots. And he's like, dude, you know?
he was like, but I did not do this and this and this. It was all that was good. And then he was like, I'd like to call my brother Jamie Lannister to be my champion, which was a good call because. If you're going to pick a champion, Jamie's the one you want to pick.
Right,
yes.
But they're like, you won't wait for him. That woman is crazy.
She's
the sister is
crazy. Okay, the first time we see her, and I will say this. If they filmed this in America, that scene would never have been filmed that way. The breastfeeding. I mean, it's one thing to see a woman breastfeeding in public. It's another 10-year-old boy.
Creep actor.
Major.
But anyway, let's go.
So she is crazy, but let's talk about
Daenerys.
Yeah.
Daenerys and her brother Viserys.
Grown up so well.
She wasn't afraid of him at all. He's got a freaking sword aimed at her stomach. No fear in her eyes.
Oh,
that was incredible.
That really
come
was.
Come
yes,
my unborn child. Yeah, that was pretty. That was. I mean, that's the high. That's the big scene.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah, that was great. I'm sorry, she
ate a heart.
Okay. Well, okay, that was...
She didn't barf it completely up. I'm proud of that
just
woman.
Just curious, she picks up the dragon egg, and it's hot, and she's fine.
Right, and the maid does it and burns her hands.
Yes. And then later at the end, of course, the brother gets his crown, the melted gold. Would she have been okay?
Yeah.
She would have been like, just like water?
Yeah, because she said dragons don't burn.
Yeah, it's interesting. Because I was wondering, part of me was like, she's saying that she has contempt for him, but because of the holding the egg and not getting burned, I was like, wait, does that mean she could have done that?
Well, because that's the whole thing is her, remember they're always like, don't wake the dragon, because her family line is mixed with dragon blood.
Wait, so her husband couldn't have done it. He would have gotten burned.
Right.
Yes, he totally would. The big pot, if it hit him, he would have been burned.
Yes, it's her family line, and her family line is mixed with dragon blood. So,
but for some reason, the brother didn't get it then.
Right.
Well, he's not worthy.
Yeah.
The dragon blood, that for sure, God.
Dragon blood went to her. So that's why she's... And I don't know if that's been true for a long time, but that was a legend of their family, is that the people of their line are mixed with dragon blood and they are not affected by fire. But that's a legend from like 1,000 years ago, and no one's probably tested it in a while.
Well,
and
now
she just did. So there you go.
Yeah, that was, which is why I want to read the book each chapter after, because I was just so blown away by that. I wasn't expecting it, and then when it started, when they went and melted the medallions, and I'm like, wow. Gold melts that fast?
We were doing time lapse.
But it was cool.
Well, actually, gold's pretty malleable, though. Like, it is one of the more soft
It is,
metals,
but
so.
Not over a cooking fire.
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyway, all right.
It was a nice note to end on.
I'm curious to see how, though, because I haven't read the book. Are you concerned that they're going to be able to do this all in... It's 10 episodes, right? You only
have
4 left.
That's the thing is, I saw the preview for next week, and that was as far in the book as I've gotten, or I had gotten. And so I was like, I don't know how much happens later. So I then, for this week, I've been reading further in the book, and I'm like, oh my God, there's no way. Like, all the stuff that has to happen after the next week's episode is insane. There's a lot.
Well, we know that they're going to start on the second season.
Well, they already started, but second season is book 2.
Are we sure?
That's what they said. Because there's so much that has to happen.
So there's nothing where you think they could break this off and then do the rest of the book 1 in the second season? There's no point where you're like, oh, well, this would be a good point.
Oh, they could totally break it. Saying that they can't.
Or they could do flashback. They could do it as a flashback.
Take a huge chunk
out of the back end of the book, make it flashback in second season, and then make second season actually second and third season be the second book.
Well,
because they're looking forward to this going on forever.
Well, I mean, I think they should, because of the amount of stuff that has to happen between now and the end of the book. I don't see how they're going to do it. So, there you go. All
right.
But let's wrap this up. We got to move on to the next thing we need to talk about.
Cool.
Which is In Plain Sight, which we haven't talked about since it premiered. And Ronnie brought it up, and what do you want to talk about?
Like, I just want to talk about, I love Mary.
Mary's awesome.
I miss her so much. Yes.
Marion Marshall.
Oh my gosh.
Marshall.
Yes. Marshall.
That is hilarious.
Yes. And then like this particular week, what was nice, it was like meet the Shannons. And so it was the first time we get to actually meet some person who was actually born in the Witness Protection Program.
Ah, right.
As a daughter. And so it's kind of like an interesting, because she didn't know anything, because her mother was the one who was put into
Right. Her mom was all PTA mom, and she thought she was super boring, and she finds out that her mom was a drug addict drug dealer.
Yes.
That was a big shock.
Yes.
And only thing is, I did feel like, I know she's a teenager, but it felt overly dramatic, her reaction to finding out that her mom was in witness protection.
See, well, like you said, teenager hormones, you know what I mean? Because, it did seem a little bit over the top.
I was like, are you kidding me? I mean, because the first thing, if I found out that everything that my mom told me was a lie, I'd be upset, sure. But keep it in perspective, my mom's running for her life, you know?
Yes.
So you have to be like, okay, mom's running for her life, I understand. You know, you have to, there's some point where you have to be like, now is not the time to freak out. Because if I freak out, all of us could die. This is a life or death situation. This isn't, oh my God, my mom won't take me shopping.
Right, but again, it's a life or death, but she's not, I mean, she hasn't, I mean, I don't think she gets it as a teenager, that, you know, how, I mean, what that means. You know what I mean? For her, it's like, it's been all beauty pageants, you know, and this and that. So she doesn't have a grasp on what life or death really means.
But that just seems odd to me. Like, well, mainly because in society, everyone sees the whole, understands what witness protection means, and all of that. So how can you be an American teenager, understand what that means, and then be wanting to bring all your friends over and hang out and tell them, you know,
it makes
no sense. So anyway, I thought that she was hanging on that borderline between being sympathetic and absolutely irritating for almost the whole episode. Like, I was going back and forth with her.
That's true. But it was interesting, the twist with her dad. You know what I mean? And actually, it was...
Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
I did not either. And it was also interesting to see him, because his name, Ron... I actually had to look it up, because it's like, I know this man from somewhere.
Yeah, I've seen that actor before.
Right. And he was actually like in this sitcom probably about 2 or 3 years ago that was really bad, called Men Behaving Badly. And it was like a really stupid sitcom. But for some reason, I just like the chemistry. It's like, where do I know that man from? You know, so it was Ron Ellard is his name. Yeah.
It was a good... I like the end of the show where when Mary basically captures the mom and she's like, do you really want your daughter to grow up on the run? that's not a childhood, that's not a life. Bring her back, let her have her life, have the dad serve his time, and then get on with your lives. You know what I'm saying? So that was all, that all worked out, I thought, pretty well.
Yes, well, I'm definitely glad the show is back. And, like, sort of overall, not so much this episode, but what I also like is how, like, sort of secondary with her sister and the wedding and stuff.
I have to say I care nothing about the wedding.
No, I don't care, but I love Mary not caring about the wedding. That's okay. What, yes.
Okay, like, there's that.
Yes, yes. I love her reaction to everything. It's like, her sister, like, you know, sort of
sends
her
totally
picture.
Scammed. Oh, yeah, so sends her a picture of her shoes. She's like, I like the white ones. They're both white.
Yes, you know. All classic right. Mary, you know.
Yeah, she's like, whatever.
And like you were saying, like, how the mom actually scammed because with the, you know, sort of the in-laws or the rich in-laws.
Yeah, the in-laws had all the money, yet because she was the bride, they were supposed to pay for the wedding. And so they basically make the wedding seem like it's going to be this tiny affair and totally scam the rich people to be like, no, we'll hold it.
Yes.
Yeah, that was good.
Definitely.
And it was great because I thought that for a second the daughter was going to be like, I can't believe you scammed them. And then she was like, good job, Mom.
Yes.
So, anyway, that's one of the summer shows I guess we're going to be talking about as stuff rolls out. And I can't wait for all the other USA shows, which is in this week or next week. Because I think we get White Collar, Burn Notice, and something else.
There's a new one that's come out with Mark Lucas.
Suits.
There's also another one in USA.
Mark Blue. Oh, Necessary Roughness.
Yeah. Which,
yeah.
You know, the idea of USA is that they like to have sunny, sunshine.
Blue sky.
Yeah, they call it blue sky shows. So hopefully.
But I actually tend to like their shows, except for.
Well, you can't like it. So no, it's blue sky.
I don't like Covert Affairs, and I don't like Royal Pains. Like, those are the only two.
Well, to be fair, Fairly Legal really wasn't good. We just like the actress.
That's true.
It's not
really
a good
show. You're right. I didn't like that show either.
Aren't
but all the other shows.
They're supposed to have a new producer.
So they get new writers and stuff.
Yeah, new showrunner and stuff. They're revamping the whole thing because, when it's worse than Royal Pains, because that at least I can fast forward through. But
I didn't fast forward Fairly Legal, but
it's
not
Fairly Legal,
I stopped
watching it. I watched like four episodes and said,
I watched the second episode because I just got Covert Affairs season one. So I was like, let me put it in. And I was like, nope, this is still not very good. I like spy shows. I was like, I would like this, but I was like, it's not that good. Suits is two brothers, but.
Are they brothers?
No. Two lawyers, but they only have one degree. And they look like twins.
That's the thing that trips me
out.
That's
what I think the hook is.
Because I looked at them and I was like, are these the same guy? Like, I was confused.
Yeah, I think it's that they're identical brothers and...
They're not identical, though.
They do look similar, but they're not identical.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you can tell the difference between them.
They're not identical, but they look enough alike that I was confused. I was like, what? Why would they hire two actors that look that much alike? But I didn't... Are they supposed to be brothers?
That's what because it looked like... Well, I think the poster is two lawyers, one degree. So, theoretically, maybe they're not related.
Okay, but like, but if they're not related, why would you pick two actors that look that much alike?
That's why I keep thinking they're posing as each other. Only one of them has a degree, but the other one is... That's what I thought the... But I haven't seen commercial.
I haven't either.
Just on the billboard, I was like, is that what they're doing?
Necessary Roughness, I saw the trailer for that, and that actually looks pretty good.
What's the premise?
It's basically, there's a woman, she does, like, sports medicine. Except that her sports medicine is different than... average, and what she does is she gets actors.
You mean like steroids?
No. Basically, her thing is she'll get an athlete who has lost his mojo. So like, all of a sudden he's the star athlete, and all of a sudden he can't shoot, or all of a sudden he can't catch a football, whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's something going on in his head that's blocking. You know,
she's like the muse.
Yeah, something like that. So okay. So basically the team hires her. To bring the actor, not the actor, why do I keep saying actor? Then bring the athlete back in and get his head straight, so then he's back to being his old self.
And who's in the show?
I've seen this actress a million times. What is her name? I don't remember.
I only know Mark Lucas. That's the only reason.
Yeah,
I
well, he's because he. Yeah, he's one of the athletes that she has to talk to. Right. But she's really famous, and I can't think of who she is. But it looks pretty good. Like I'll totally check that one out. All
right.
Anyway, we got off topic. All right, the season finale. Of House, which will for me be the series finale because I think I'm done. Stick a fork in me, I'm done. Go ahead. No, you go.
Well, I had Entertainment Weekly had been like, you know, writer, creator of House says no one will believe the last 5 minutes or whatever. And it was really late when I, you know, and I was like, you know what? I just want to skip to the end. I'm like, I'll watch the end first. which of course is House driving through
Cuddy's living room.
And I was like, what the heck? I was like, what is going on here? And I was like, this is terrible. I turned it off. A few days later, I watched the rest of the episode. I was like, okay, now let me just watch the episode. Actually, the episode, which is House is in the hospital, and it's a famous actress who's been nominated. I forgot what her name is, but she's a patient who's a performance artist, and she basically has a bunch of symptoms, but she doesn't want to tell, because she knows who House is, she doesn't want to tell House what she had. That's part of the art. That actually, I did not mind. I was like, okay, this is actually not a terrible case. I'm going with this. But, yeah, man, once you still get to the big end, I was still like, yeah, I didn't like that.
Well, it wasn't.
Well, and giving the doctor the two pregnancies.
The two pregnancies?
The doctor, the guy who, him and his wife.
Oh, right.
So he gets this, he knocks up some 20-year-old.
Oh, right.
And then at the end,
his wife shows
like,
up pregnant.
But I was just like, oh, really? You're pulling that? Like, I was, yeah.
And I was like, why did all of a sudden he just become Mr. Potent Sperm Man? Like, what? That was ridiculous, and the look on his face was hilarious. But I don't care about Taub. That's
his name. Yeah.
I don't care about Taub enough to care that he got two women pregnant. So why are we spending our time with him? The other thing is, I agree with you. The episode was pretty good. And then I really did like the scene because everybody keeps telling him to let out his anger, let out his anger. And so the scene where he actually talks to Cuddy. And he does let
he
that
pushes
out.
Her.
Yeah, he pushes
that was
her.
Good.
That was
it's
really good.
I have no
and he
with
actually
that. Yeah.
said what he felt. And I was like, okay.
And then he finds her brush.
And he finds her brush and he's like, all right, I'm going to return it to her. And she had just finished telling him, I'm not seeing anybody. So he shows up at her house and she's obviously seeing somebody.
Right, there's a bunch of, but it's not like a cozy date. There's like people. It's
right.
Like a bunch
but
of people
still,
there.
You
now,
can
it's,
tell.
It's not a bunch of people. It's her sister and sister's husband.
Right.
And a guy. When you have two couples like that, it ain't somebody you just went out with once.
Right.
Right.
So whether she meant it or she didn't, we get the idea that she's gone out with this guy at least twice
and
before.
And this is the guy that we see in the episode
right.
who
was a friend.
Yeah.
He was a friend of the sisters.
Right,
yeah.
Okay, right, right.
But House doesn't know that. So
right.
for him, it looks like she's been dating this guy for a while. So he feels like she just freaking lied to him. That's all good, and I understand his anger. I'm cool with that. But the moment he sees that there are four people sitting in that living room, and he takes that car and drives his car into that living room, you cannot tell me he did not mean to kill them.
Well, according to Entertainment Weekly, the show creator says that
I don't
that's
care.
Not
what,
no,
I don't,
but no, I'm just saying. He's saying that House is not trying to kill anybody.
There's
and
no.
I'm kind of like, I don't know, man. How would he know they've left the living room?
I thought that the sister and her husband were still sitting there. I rebound
yeah, so I don't know
look.
How
I
we're not supposed to think
yeah,
that he tried
yeah,
to kill
he
people.
Tried to kill
and
them.
And the police
yeah.
are looking for him.
Because he tried to kill them.
Yeah.
And so then the last shot of him on the beach hanging out smiling, I'm like, no. Dude, you just tried to kill four people.
Right.
And
he's crossed the line from being just crazy.
Which
to,
he always is.
Which he always is.
Right.
To now being, I want to use the word sociopath.
Yeah.
He's now crossed over to sociopath.
I guess he does a lot of jerky things that I think aren't cool, but technically they're not illegal. Like, they're like, well, that's really cruel to be, just, you know, treat
yeah.
someone that way. But you're right, technically I'm like, well, that looks like attempted murder. Or
right,
you
it
know?
Is.
He's like, that, like, yeah.
And he, and because you were like, oh, what if Cuddy dropped the charges? It doesn't matter if she drops the charges. He drove his car through her house and tried to kill some people.
That's one of those things that they don't give the person who almost got killed the right to say, I'm not pressing charges. This is when the government says, on your behalf, and all those other people out there, he might want
to
run over.
Because he can be a danger to
society. Yeah. Right,
danger
to society.
We're
right.
going to take
so,
him
So, I don't care. And I don't care what kind of solution they're going to come up with
well,
next
what,
season.
Is there any solution they can come up with that you would go, okay, I'm curious?
No.
I know
what about him
me.
In prison for the whole season? What about that? What about
okay.
he actually does time?
Okay,
you know,
if he actually gets arrested and he's in prison and it's doing doctor's work in a prison cell, okay.
All right. No, but, I'm just saying, on record, that would be a storyline that you're like, but if he's just back to doing cases at the
I'm out.
Like, I'm out. Yeah,
I'm done.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe it. I don't believe any reasoning that you can give me, because now we're not in reality. You know, and the thing is, House is not entirely in reality, but it's still as close to reality as we can get. And if you tell me that he just can come back to Princeton Plainsboro and work as a doctor after he tried to kill four people, I don't believe you. And I don't care what the executive producer says that, oh, he didn't do it, he was just trying to return the... Whatever, man. No. I'm done.
Oh, like, maybe that's what they're going to do. Maybe the next season is somehow he gets out of the legal matter, but he's not going to be a... Was it Plainsboro? Is that what it's called?
Princeton Plainsboro.
Maybe that's the change-up. Maybe we're going to see... Maybe he'll still... Because Cuddy's out, right? The actress. Is Wilson still in?
They barely got him back. He almost quit, too.
So, theoretically, he could be... In, meaning he visits him and hangs out with him, but he's not seeing him at the office. Maybe that's their solution.
Except he's not going to, based on the last few minutes. Wilson's cut him off, too.
Yeah, because Wilson was like, I'm done.
No, but for saying if the actor is still on the show, then he can come up with something.
He tried to hurt Wilson. He wasn't, not that he tried to hurt Wilson, but that he didn't give a damn that Wilson was standing there.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
And he actually got knocked down by the car.
All right, let's move on, because we've been very... Chatty.
For less shows, more chatty.
Wow. Yeah. The event. Oh. I just wanted to talk about the finale. And Marcia is laughing hysterically right now. But basically, I haven't talked about the event in some ridiculous number of podcasts with good reason because the show has not been talk worthy. But I figured finale. What the heck? You know, this is the last episode and.
Thank God.
It was just so silly. It was just, they basically took Sophia.
They took
Sophia and destroyed her character because she was a very sympathetic woman that you follow and you like her and you're on her side for like 40, like, not 40, more like 60, 70% of the show. You're totally on her side. Then all of a sudden she flips and now she's evil and she wants to kill all of humanity. And so she's setting out this virus that's going to kill 90% of the population. It's some sort of smallpox virus, cold, I forgot what they said it was. But she had like three plans to spread the virus. And I was like, wow, that's elaborate. But actually, it needed to be elaborate because they found out her plan and stopped everyone. So like the last episode was about them stopping all the different terrorists, the different groups that were going to set out the virus. And they finally get it down to where it's just her. And she's got the last virus canister. And Jason Ritter character talks her down. He's like, well, we know that you're here. We've locked down the airport. So there's no way the virus can spread. So all you're going to do is commit murder at this point. It's not going to help your cause. Because her cause was to spread the virus so that it would make room for her people. Because the whole thing is, now she wants to bring everybody from her planet here. And everyone was assuming, because she's all about, we have to make room. So everyone was assuming that meant that they were just going to bring the people to Earth, and the Earth didn't have enough resources and all that other stuff. So they're like, it's not sustainable, so we're going to kill all the people off on the Earth so that her people could come to the planet and live on Earth. But of course, at the end, when they capture her and her plan didn't work, they're like, your plan didn't work. There's no point. Stop it. And she's like, it's too late to stop it. And she's like, I did the virus to be merciful. And everybody's like, what do you mean? And he's like, they're here. And the last bit of the whole show is, instead of transporting all the people, it literally transports the planet. So now Earth's orbit is totally screwed. Oh, like, they literally brought the entire planet.
So do they, are like, flying up in the air, like what happened?
Well, it doesn't destroy gravity; still exists.
Well, I mean, what happens? Like, what
well, I mean, it literally just shows like all the wind and all the like tidal, like all this stuff is happening, and it goes black, like or white or whatever. That's it. You see the other planet take you. They show now the orientation of all the planets into the sun,
They
show all this wind and stuff happening. Everybody's going, "Oh my god!" And they show the new skyline, and that's the end of the episode.
Wow.
That's how it ended. And
incredibly
I was,
disappointing.
Oh, yeah. I was like, seriously? And apparently, they don't feel bad because they used to live on the Earth, and Earth used to be theirs, and then they left at some point, and so since Earth used to be theirs, they have no problem with destroying everybody else who is now on the planet or whatever. But they made it seem like if there was a second season, the Jason Ritter's character could decipher some code on this scroll that he has that will allow them to send the people back or whatever. So I was like, whatever.
Send the planet back? Because you gotta remember the planet, really.
Right. But I was just kind of like, thumbs down. Oh boy! By the time I realized that the show was going so far down, there was no way out. I was so far into the show that I was just like, I might as well freaking finish it at this point. And yeah, it was bad. So you don't need to. All right. The next thing is, since we're doing finales of shows that were canceled, Marcia, you wanted to give your input on Chicago Code, the finale.
Well, Tim Minear truly is very good at keeping his word. He does write very good 13-episode miniseries.
The shows are always canceled.
Which might be why his Twitter name is canceled again. In fact, because of that, he was Twittering under Chicago Code as for Twitter because of that. Didn't help. The problem I saw is that, you know, it started out good, then it became sloppy, and then by the time it got good, nobody's watching it. They did a very good job in picking up all the pieces. Coming up again about Wasaki's brother. Yes, he was a dirty cop, but at the end he cleaned himself up. But who killed him, still don't know. That's out there. Hennessy ends up becoming, he's the undercover guy. He ends up coming out to his family. The family now knows that he's a good guy, that and he's able to take down the Irish mob, and he's able to take down Gibbons also. And at the end, you see Gibbons trying to fire the superintendent. And instead, she has him arrested in front of the entire council, and the last scene you see is him in a cell, in prison garb, being handed his roll of toilet paper and his shoes and everything.
That's pretty awesome.
So I will say that even if you didn't watch the whole show, if you watched the first episode and you watched the last episode, that's worth seeing.
Well, I will have to say that I watched everything, but I didn't watch the finale. I liked the beginning. Like, the pilot I thought was really good. And then I feel like they got a note from Fox that told them, get off the serialized and go to episodic. Because about, like, episode 2 or 3, all of a sudden it was a cop show. And I was like, if I wanted to watch a cop show, I'd watch a better cop show.
Like I said, you know, watch the first episode, the second, maybe the next, the last one, maybe the next to last one, and you're fine.
All right, next we want to talk about the finale of Glee, which the main thing I will say for them in the finale is all their songs were great, except for Shoten. I have issues with Shoten's. But other than that, their songs are just out of the park for the New York finale. I thought that was really pretty good. I really enjoyed I think it was the one that Kurt and Rachel sang on that stage. I was like, that was the only one I was like, I don't know. But the rest of them I really liked. The storyline was okay. I predicted that they weren't going to win.
Yeah, but not even to be in the top 10.
Yeah, pretty humiliating.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they lose because Rachel and Fenn decide to make out on stage. Yeah. So that sucks. And I can see why the team is mad at
it. Yeah, the actual episode, yeah, they shot it in New York. That looked kind of cool.
Yeah, all the stuff was good.
I didn't love the music. It's not that I hated the songs or anything. They just didn't leave an impression. Like, I don't remember them or anything. I wasn't mad. I mean, when I was watching, I was like, but they didn't leave me, like when they did that Adele song.
Right.
Like, that was very, but like this, I didn't really feel anything. I was kind of like,
all right.
You know.
Well, my reaction to their songs are either I really like them and I'm like, yeah, okay. But the Adele was an exception where I literally stopped what I was doing, went and found the song.
Right.
And that's actually never happened when I watched Glee before. So that's unique. But this week, I was really enjoying the songs because what I do, and I hate to admit it, but if they hit a song that I don't like, fast forward through the song.
I do that.
I never do that.
Is not good, I don't want to listen to it. However, I don't fast forward through the story because I want to know what's going on in the story. But I feel like I'm not going to miss anything if the song is bad.
I guess I like the production value, though. I like, you know, even if it's a song I don't necessarily love, I love seeing that one guy. That guy's a really good dancer.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so I still like
seeing
that
stuff.
Well,
when they do
stuff
like that, when they do the big numbers where everyone is dancing.
Oh, so you don't fast forward though.
No, but I'm like, when last week when Kurt was on stage by himself and he was doing his audition and it was an awful song, he was wearing awful pants and it was just like, oh my god, kill me now.
I don't remember it was awful.
But this week I thought most of the songs were good. I like the fact that they gave Schuster.
Yeah.
I like the fact they gave him a moment to sing a song because I actually think he's really good. You know, I really
but he is good.
That
yeah.
was actually the best I've ever heard him sing.
Yeah.
And on the show, it was a wonderful job of The emotion in his voice was very good. And that's the best one that he's ever done. And, of course, they do it at the end.
No, he did it at the beginning.
No, I mean at the end of the season.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, I thought that, but storyline-wise, nothing spectacular really happened other than they lost, which I said I kind of predicted.
Oh, the magic haircut. The magic haircut that made Quinn feel so much better about herself. Oh, don't even tell me.
Oh, she did get a haircut.
Oh, but yeah, was
it looked
that
good, but what
well,
was the
when
magic
when Santana said, I know what it'll take to make you
oh, make you feel better.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know that way.
Right.
Or thanks for the offer or something. No,
right.
It's the magic haircut, and all was
oh,
well.
I have to say, the couple I didn't see coming, Mercedes and Lips. What is
I did
name?
Not see that coming.
Sam.
Yes. That was nice, but I didn't see it coming.
I did not see that coming because I was like, huh.
Wait, was last week the funeral?
Yes.
See, to me, that was a better episode.
Oh, it was.
I mean, that really, like, I just really emotional.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
Like, I thought it was really good. Like,
this week's
episode. That to me was a better finale, I guess. I mean,
yeah, but I mean, they wanted to do the whole New
York
thing.
No, I know, yeah.
But it just,
so,
it was
but
very mediocre.
I think it would have been better if Rachel had just stayed behind and got herself, you know, a little hole-in-the-wall apartment with six other girls. And
oh, yes.
That
she, she was like, I'm coming back to New York, and I'm not leaving until I've made it. Whatever.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah,
shut up, Rachel.
Yeah.
Glee's coming back, right?
Yeah,
that's big
yeah.
When you heard Glee on paper 2 seasons ago, I would have thought that's a show Fox cancels after 3 episodes.
Right.
I never would have thought that show would have taken off.
But
except they
yeah.
aimed it at teenagers. At disposable
and they,
income because they're making a ton of
oh,
money.
Yeah,
off
well,
the,
I,
oh
yeah,
well,
no, they totally are. But
yeah.
That could have failed. That
right.
really could have gone.
But they,
if the show
but,
was
but,
bad,
you think
it really could have gone horribly wrong.
But it's
right.
kind of like they were aiming it at their American Idol people.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it totally,
yeah, yeah.
It totally
right,
worked.
Yeah.
It totally worked very
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, our last finale that we have to talk about is Modern Family. And
that was good.
It was a good finale, but it wasn't.
No, it wasn't like as good as last season.
Right. Yeah, it was still fun, and I like when the whole family's together, and I felt so bad for Jay. I was like, man, your birthday sucks.
He's like, and then later when he's like, when he's saying the, he feels like he's been a baby, he's like, I've been acting like a 12-year-old, and then Luke's like, hey, because he is 12, you know, like, no, I just love that show. I always watch it, like, twice,
yeah,
ever so, but after the finale, I ended up putting season 1 in,
and I watched their finale.
Yeah, and it was still better, but still, I still thought overall, season 2 of Modern Family, just like we're talking about Vampire Diaries, still good season, you know, still like the characters and.
Well,
I
and I really enjoy the brother sister relationship a little more. I think this season because they've been spending more time together. I think as siblings.
I like that.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, where'd you get a sailor suit on such short notice? I'll talk about that. And then it was the scene like we're gonna have to throw the doll really far, and he looks at his sister and he totally gives her the doll to throw it because he's not the guy to do that. But, oh, and they're going to have another baby. That's cool. Cameron and Mitchell.
Yes, I totally felt bad for Cam when he's helping Manny out, and then Manny's like, I should really talk to somebody. I should really, and of course, you know, Cam Cluley, because he's a big sports guy, wants to do that. And he's like, I'll go ask Jay. And I was like, oh, man. Like,
but I mean, Jay's a big sports guy, too.
It is, but it was a nice moment for him and Cam, you know.
Right.
I was like, oh. You know,
yeah, but he's like, but he also... Cam very specifically said, this is something you do with your dad.
You didn't think Cam's face looked a little disappointed?
Oh, he was. I'm not
okay,
arguing.
Okay,
all
right, yeah, all right, yeah.
He was, but I mean, he set himself up for that. He was like,
yeah,
you and your dad, you like, it's a thing that a father and a son do outside and play ball, and you teach him blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then he was like, yeah, I should ask Jay. Because Jay's
yeah,
his dad.
That's true, that's
you know?
True.
And, but
yeah.
Only thing is, my request is that the next baby that they get is more animated. I swear to God.
I'm fine with her. And actually, it's funny you say that. In one of the episodes I just watched from season 1, there is a great shot. It's not that she's animated. Wait, what's her name? Libby?
Yes.
There's a shot where, like, something's going on with Mitch and Cam, and it's craziness, and then they're holding her, and, like, she just kind of, like, looks at the camera. I was like, oh, that's pretty funny. I mean, I will say, yes, in general... I mean, she's a kid, so she's not going to be like Manny.
No.
You can't expect that.
I mean, literally, that baby does nothing. if she was just a doll that didn't move.
But I mean, essentially, she is. I mean, she's a cute baby. I mean, I'm not sure
yeah,
how much
but, I mean,
performance
no,
you're getting. You're
no,
get
but
of,
I just want her to freaking react. She
well,
doesn't,
like I said, in that scene.
That's one scene. It's been 2 seasons.
And I did like when the door opened and like she's just standing there with the flower. Was that this episode?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She's like, oh, look at that. Cause she wants to leave the baby.
Cameron's
cute. You know?
It was.
How old
that was
the baby?
The baby's like a year and a half.
She's
okay,
little,
I
like,
I know a lot of kids who are really good actors and actresses at a very young age. I think if they're under two, there's only so much emoting you're going to get out of them. It's more like smile and pinch them to cry.
Well,
that's about the best
I know.
You're going to get.
She never smiles. That's my issue. If all she did was smile every once in a while, I would be totally
you know,
fine.
I never noticed that. And so you said that, but I guess I kind of like that about her.
She never smiles.
She's always so, like, I like that. Like, I see what you're saying, though. Because I'm sure if we were to see behind the scenes, I'm assuming she's probably just, blah, like a little baby. But I kind of like that quality.
Oh, my God.
Like,
it bugs the crap out of me. I'm like, she's not real.
Okay, what we'll do is we'll write to the showrunner and say, stop giving Benadryl to the baby.
Less Ambien for the baby.
Yeah, you're really ticking off Olivia.
Yeah, I swear that baby is drugged
go.
Out. Yes, that is the answer. But that's my request. The next baby they get, have that baby be different. Have that baby actually go, make a noise. I swear that baby never makes a noise unless the baby's off screen and you could tell that it's like a sound effect. Like, remember this week's episode, they were like, oh, the baby's crazy. But we don't see the baby. The baby's in the other room being crazy, and you just hear the baby going, ah!
Right?
And so they never actually, like, we've never actually, and like, they had one time where the baby was supposed to be fighting, like, she was biting kids or doing something.
Oh, we don't see it, though.
We never see it, right? So the baby's just sitting there doing nothing, and then they pan away. And then they pan back and the other kid that she's sitting next to is screaming.
Well, and then doesn't she bite Cam?
Right.
We don't see anything.
Like
here in the car. He's like, oh my God.
Yeah. Like they always do stuff like that. Like the baby's done.
I think that's funny. But still, overall, a good season.
Yes, I'm sorry. And I'm done with my tirade about this poor child.
Well, this poor baby.
This poor child, which I'm sure she's totally fine in real life. But on screen, I'm like, do something. All right. Done. So next week we'll probably be on all summer shows, and it'll
week after.
Well, we've got two episodes of Doctor Who left since we're in Northern America.
So there's no Doctor Who today.
Legally, no.
America and Apple iTunes will not post those shows.
Well, I don't know about iTunes because they have it in Britain. They're showing it in Britain. They're not showing it in Canada or here.
Oh boy!
Because they believe that on Memorial Day weekend. Nobody watches.
Oh, is there no Game of Thrones this weekend?
Actually, I think Game of Thrones is on.
Okay, well, that's all I care about. Anyway, well, let me wrap this up. Let me wrap this podcast up. Remember, if you have any ideas of a special podcast we can do this summer, because the summer is the time for the special podcast, let me know. We'll entertain any and all. Well, when I say entertain, we'll think about any and all ideas. Send feedback to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @tvcampfire. And we're on Facebook. And talk to you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.